Dear listeners everywhere, this is David J. Meyer, editor and publisher of the Last Trumpet newsletter. I am bringing this message to you because I feel an urgency in my heart and soul to warn everyone of an insidious plot to bewitch millions of children and people of all ages in the form of books known as the Harry Potter series. I am speaking to you as a former witch and astrologer, saved and delivered by the grace of Almighty God. I am now a pastor, author, editor, and publisher, dedicated to exposing the evil works of Satan in an attempt to wake up the deceived masses of people. I must tell you that the Harry Potter series of books are pure witchcraft and serve as training manuals for the occult. How popular are these books, and how pervasive have they become? There are 35 million copies of the first three books in print, and they have been translated into 35 languages. These books are saturating our nation and much of the world. One of the reasons why there is no outcry from the so-called Christian community is that most of these uninformed church bench warmers do not take witchcraft seriously. Pastors say nothing or laugh it off. Other religious leaders actually endorse the occult material, and thus they make it obvious to me whose side they are on. In the Bible, we find a firm and decisive rebuke for a nation that is involved in and entertained by witchcraft. In Nahum, in the Old Testament, in the book of Nahum, chapter 3, verses 4 through 5, we read, "Because of the multitude of the whoredoms of the well-favored harlot, the mistress of witchcrafts that selleth nations through her whoredoms and families through her witchcrafts, behold, I am against thee, saith the Lord of hosts." It couldn't be clearer. Any nation involved in witchcraft, any nation that goes into the occult, have a curse upon them. And the Harry Potter books are all about the occult. And that the entire content is occult is clear. Witchcraft is taught in these books. In Revelation chapter 9, verse 21, we find the following words pertaining to these end times. "Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts." We see that sorceries are prevalent in the last days. And the Harry Potter books, with the vast quantities and the tremendous interest by the young people, the latest book being 700 pages, and young people leaving their video games, leaving the television to read these books and absorb themselves in the occult, is definitely a step toward hell. And if we thought we had problems in this nation before, just wait until these young minds absorbing all of this witchcraft training begin to practice it. Here let it be noted that the reason religious leaders endorse the Harry Potter books is because they say that good triumphs over evil. Like the classic Wizard of Oz, which appeared at the turn of the previous century, there are supposed to be good witches and bad witches. If you recall, there was the good witch of the north and good witch of the south, and the bad witch of the east and bad witch of the west. And so there are supposed to be good witches as well as bad witches. I was once a part of that world of the occult, and I can tell you that there are no good witches, and that the Bible condemns all witches. This is no fantasy, and it is no joke. We will now look at some of the content of the Harry Potter books. And as we do this, I pray to God that every listener will have the discernment to understand how seriously evil these books are, and that these books are designed to corrupt and destroy the youth and fill their minds with spells, incantations, and a destructive appetite for deeper realms of witchcraft. In book one, entitled Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone, we find Harry Potter as an infant, placed on the doorstep of his aunt and uncle, known as the Dursleys. Harry was a survivor in a battle involving his parents and an evil wizard named Lord Voldemort. Now, Voldemort is spelled V-O-L-D-E-M-O-R-T. It's actually a French word, so you don't pronounce the T, but most people do. Harry's parents were both powerful wizards, but were killed by Voldemort. Voldemort also tried unsuccessfully to kill Harry and was drained of the majority of his powers in the attempt and had to disappear, which made Harry a hero among the witches. Harry's aunt and uncle, the Dursleys, are known as Muggles or Muggle people, which are non-magical people, and they hate magic and witchcraft. The Dursleys, as Harry's adopted Muggle family, are portrayed as bigoted and mean as they subject young Harry to continual abuses. They feed Harry a starvation diet and keep him locked up in a cubbyhole under the stairs. In contrast, the Dursleys pour out gifts and affection on their son Dudley, who is obese and an obnoxious bully. Thus, since author J.K. Rowling depicts families who are against magic and witchcraft as stupid, dysfunctional, mean and unfair, and shows that witches are kind and wonderful to Harry, there is a clear signal that joy and fulfillment is found in the realm of witchcraft, and that the witches are really very fine people, whereas the people who have Christian values are considered to be doltish, stupid, and dysfunctional. This sends a very poor, evil, terrible, and awful signal to the young people. And this is done intentionally, without a doubt. When Harry Potter reaches his 11th birthday, the witchcraft community shows up and invites him to come to a boarding school for witches known as Hogwarts School of Witchcraft and Wizardry. Harry then goes on a shopping trip to a place called Diagon Alley to pick up school supplies and a magic wand. He then goes to a wizard's bank called Gringotts and withdraws some of his deceased parents' money for tuition at Hogwarts. Finally, Harry boards a special magical train known as Hogwarts Express, which carries him quickly away to school. At Hogwarts School, Harry meets some weird professors, such as Albus Dumbledore, Minerva McGonagall, and Severus Snape. He also runs into strange creatures, including garden gnomies, blow-tailed scroots, and the Whomping Willow. At this point, I would just like to mention that witches have many legends that they tell. They don't necessarily believe they're all true, but there are many legends and myths that they tell, all of them teaching a point of witchcraft. And some of these strange names indicate that J.K. Rowling has quite a knowledge of witchcraft, because the way this is put together and the terminology comes directly from the occult. Now, at the school, Harry also learns about a soccer game played on broomsticks called Quidditch. The broomstick, of course, is a real trademark of witchcraft. And, of course, the witches joke about it, but it comes from antiquity. The broomstick was actually used, and I have to be careful here how I word this, but the broomstick was actually used by witches for immoral purposes. And that is why they are said to fly on broomsticks. Enough said on that. Each one of the four Harry Potter books deals with one academic year at Hogwarts School of Witchcraft and Wizardry, and there is a progression in training and skill in casting spells and doing battle. Each book is darker and increasingly morbid. In Book 4, The Goblet of Fire, one of the students is murdered by Lord Voldemort. In each book, there seems to be an ever-increasing death shadow that hovers over the witchcraft school. Here, let it be noted that in a recent interview, the author J.K. Rowling said, "Death and bereavement, and what death means, I would say, is one of the central themes in all seven books." Let's take a look at one of the main characters of the book, known as Lord Voldemort, who is the essence of all evil. Voldemort, even though he has a name, is referred to as he who must not be named. Here let it be noted that the upper levels of witchcraft, that in these upper levels, there is a satanic prince referred to as the Nameless One, or No Name. In fact, in Ephesians 6:12, we are told that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And in real witchcraft, there are seven principalities, or chief generals, under Beelzebub, who in turn is under Satan. And of course, the seven have names, but the last one is one exception, does not have a name. So it's interesting that in the Harry Potter material, Lord Voldemort is referred to as the one who must not be named. So Rowling, once again, seems to know a lot about witchcraft in the upper levels. The name Voldemort is French and means flight of death. Again, preoccupation with death. In the Potter books, Voldemort has never died and is trying to achieve immortality. In book number 4, Voldemort tells Harry Potter, "My path to power is littered with the corpses of good wizards and muggles who stood in my way." Now, I don't think it takes that much discernment to understand how evil this is. And yet so many parents are looking the other way to keep their children happy. So many pastors are saying, well, all of this turns out good, so it really isn't so bad. Let's look at this a little more closely and see if that is true. As previously mentioned, many of these so-called Christian leaders defend the Potter books by saying that Harry is a good wizard and overcomes Voldemort, the evil wizard. A careful examination of the books, however, will reveal that even though Potter and Voldemort are deadly enemies, they are nearly alike. A prime example of this is the infant Harry's encounter with Voldemort, when he absorbed some of Voldemort's powers and took on many of his traits. One of those traits is the ability to speak in a strange tongue called Parcel Tongue, which is the language of snakes. The story also tells us that Harry's magic wand is made from the same source as Voldemort's wand, and thus they cancel each other out. I'd also like to mention, regarding the wand, that in real witchcraft, wands are used. And these wands are made from the wood of the holly plant. And, of course, that is Hollywood. Kind of interesting because of all the things that come out of Hollywood, California. In Book 4, there is a battle between Harry and Voldemort, during which Voldemort is restored to full strength by absorbing a vial of blood taken from Harry, which allows Voldemort to have the attributes that allowed Potter to resist him when he was a baby. Thus, Potter and Voldemort have much in common. So where is the definition between good and evil? In addition to that, Harry Potter received a mark in his forehead in the shape of a lightning bolt, which is the source of Harry's power and magical capabilities. And having come from the occult, I know that that lightning bolt mark, that jagged bolt of lightning that is seen so much today in different places, is a mark of Satanism. I also know that and understand and would like to say that Satanists and witches are not the same thing. Witches don't believe in Satan. They worship him, they serve him, but they don't believe in him. They believe in the gods and goddesses in the higher levels, particularly the person of Lucifer. In the lower levels, they believe in the forces of nature, which is why when they greet each other, they say, "Blessed be," and when they leave the coven meeting, they say, "The force be with you." Of course, we heard that in Star Wars, didn't we? Star Wars was written in witchcraft jargon completely. Now, let's look once again at Voldemort. Voldemort also sets a mark on the members of his secret circle, who are called Death Eaters. The mark is called the Dark Mark and is put on the arm of his followers. The mark causes the bearer of it pain whenever Voldemort is summoning them. The mark on the forehead of Harry becomes excruciatingly painful whenever Voldemort is manifesting his power or is close by. The Harry Potter books also have a strange preoccupation with snakes and grotesque creatures. In book one, Harry has a conversation with a snake in his special snake language, or parcel tongue, and the snake, who is at the zoo, tells Harry that he wants to be set free. Harry uses his power to vaporize the glass, and the boa constrictor escapes. In the second book, a basilisk, which is a snake that can kill you by looking at you, appears at Hogwarts School. In book four, a snake named Nagini appears with Lord Voldemort to feed on Voldemort's victims. The word Nagini is a Sanskrit word that means pertaining to cobras. In another encounter with Voldemort, Harry descends into a tunnel beneath the Hogwarts school and finds that the tunnel is guarded by the three-headed hound of hell, Cerberus. When Harry discovers his enemy at the end of the tunnel, he finds him manifested as a hidden second face on the back of one of his teacher's heads. All of these manifestations and incidents stem from legends told in real witchcraft. Again, I say, the author, J.K. Rowling, has a remarkable understanding of witchcraft. In regard to Voldemort and the Hogwarts School of witchcraft and wizardry, it's interesting to note that they're going to make a movie. Warner Brothers has a contract to make a Harry Potter movie. They've already selected a young child as an actor to play Harry Potter, and they're working like mad to get this movie out. And it's going to be made over in England at Gloucester Cathedral. Gloucester Cathedral is going to be transformed into a school, Hogwarts School, of witchcraft and wizardry, and Warner Brothers has a contract with the cathedral and those in charge of it. Can you imagine the rank blasphemy of taking something that is supposed to be Christian and turning it into a school of witchcraft and wizardry? Even though the religion that the cathedral represents is wrong, and it certainly is, according to the Word of God, still the blasphemy is obvious. And I believe that the wrath of God is soon to come because of all of these things. In all of the Harry Potter books, there's a strange mixture of what is supposed to be good and evil. But it's a mixture. Good and evil witchcraft. And oddly enough, the good and the evil seem to have an affinity one for another. And of course, I'd like to remind you once again, there is no such thing as white magic or good witchcraft. It's all black and evil and cursed of God. The readers of the Potter books will quickly discover that Lord Voldemort and Harry Potter are an inseparable part of each other. You know, I have actually heard from people that think that Christian principles can be taught from these books. Religious leaders have endorsed them. But as we consider this, Harry Potter and Voldemort are so similar. And many of the characters in the book are two-sided. One such is Hagrid, who is one of Harry's dearest friends and yet keeps deadly animals in his house, which puts Harry and the other students in danger of their lives. Professor Lupin, who is one of Harry's friends, is a werewolf. In book four, Severus Snape reveals that he was once one of Voldemort's Death Eaters and bears the dark mark on his arm. Another character in book three is Sirius Black, who is a prisoner in the wizard's prison known as Azkaban. Sirius Black turns out to be a psychopathic murderer but a friend and godfather of Harry Potter, who's supposed to be the good side of all of this. So there's a confusing mixture here. And as this goes through the minds of the young people, we know that they're going to be unable, and the books are designed to put this in their minds, they're unable to discern between what's right and what's wrong, which is a very horrible situation to be in. Certainly by now, we've heard enough to know that these books, known as the Harry Potter series, are extremely dangerous and are designed to draw young people into the dark and shadowy realm of Satan. It is also interesting to look at Rowling herself. And incidentally, Rowling is, at the time of this tape, the time of this recording, is the third richest woman in Great Britain. Not long ago, just a few years ago, she was impecunious. She had no money. And now she is one of the wealthiest women in England. We know that she has given herself over to Satan. She's doing a work for him, and he is paying her. Although, what would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lost his own soul, as Jesus said? In an online interview on Scholastic.com, a young reader asked Rowling if she had any role models. Rowling said, "No, but I have a heroine, Jessica Mitford." Now, a lot of people may not know who Jessica Mitford is. Jessica Mitford was a prominent member of the American Communist Party and was the wife of the lifelong socialist Robert Treuhand. Jessica Mitford, the flaming communist of the 1960s, had a preoccupation with death and wrote a book entitled The American Way of Death. And this is the heroine of J.K. Rowling? This is the one that she looks up to? A flaming red communist, and her husband being a socialist and preoccupied with death? We are supposed to believe that the Harry Potter series is harmless entertainment and even spiritually wholesome. I have been hearing from some of my subscribers that their pastors are recommending that the book be used to teach Christian principles, which indicates to me that these men have the discernment level of a lima bean. I'm now going to read some Bible verses that will clearly reveal what the Almighty God and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ have to say about all witchcraft in any form. Before I do this, I want to say that this tape recording should not have been necessary. One glance at the Harry Potter books, even just a glance at the title of the books, should tell us that all of it is from the pits of hell and has no place in the life of a Christian. I feel so sorry for these young people who are being indoctrinated by the Harry Potter books, because they certainly are. When you absorb yourself with all kinds of spiritual spells and battles and names of spirits, and you fill your head with these things, you have to remember that the Bible says, "As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." All of this has to be processed in your mind, in your soul. And we will answer for this if we do not stop or attempt to stop this from happening. The young people are grabbing these books and they are selling like wildfire. As a matter of fact, we know that in the fourth book, 3.8 million copies sold within 24 hours. An additional 2 million had to be ordered immediately. We also know that one-third of all the children in the United States now have Harry Potter books and are learning how to do witchcraft. God help us. As a nation, we're in serious trouble if something isn't done, and I believe it is incumbent upon every Christian to pray without ceasing, to bind these evil spirits, to bring the Word of God in, and to lift it up. And I hope parents who hear this tape will take a stand against their children. After all, who's in charge? Are we going to allow the children to rule our lives? Where are the men who will stand up and be men, and the women who will stand up and be women, and take the responsibility for what is right and good in the sight of God? I'm going to look at some scriptures with you now, and we are going to consider what the Bible has to say about this. In Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 9 through 14, we read as follows. When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch. Here we see God is strictly forbidding this. Is it good for young people to read about witches and what witches do, and then try to have fun with all of this and dress up like them and put lightning marks on their forehead? We have Sunday school children in various places who have said, I don't believe anymore what they're teaching in Sunday school. One young girl said, Jesus died because he is weak and stupid. God help us. Where are the parents? Stand up and come against these things. But here in Deuteronomy, we are told that, and we have a list here, actually, of things that are forbidden by God, passing through the fire. Of course, in those days, they used to sacrifice their children. Their firstborn was sacrificed in the flames of the heathen god Moloch or Chemosh, and they had other names as well. But mothers and fathers did this so that they would be blessed and prospered and their crops would grow and they would have money. What is the number one reason for abortion today? Where after a baby is aborted, once they've taken the organs, harvested the different organs, and extracted the collagen so they can make makeup and so forth. What is the number one reason why women abort their babies today? So that they can pursue their careers and make money. You see, there's nothing new under the sun. It's just now it's done in clinics, abortuaries, as I call them. What a horrible thing, and what a great day, judgment day, will be when all this must be accounted for. And of course, also forbidden is the use of divination, which is any kind of fortune telling. Also the observer of times, which is astrology, using the various planets, sun, moon, and stars to predict the future and as a timing device in order to tell what sign you were born under and etc. Or an enchanter, one who chants. We find this in the Harry Potter books, enchantments and so forth. And now we actually have the word witch. Yes, it's in the Bible. And no one is to be a witch. It's absolutely forbidden. Verse 11 says, or a charmer. This is one who attaches evil spirits to a piece of jewelry or something that will bring them luck. And it's interesting to note that the word luck comes from the word Lucifer. Lucifer became Satan. Or a consulter with familiar spirits, seances, talking to the dead, like Hillary Clinton so often does. Infamous, I should say, for her conversations with Eleanor Roosevelt. Or a wizard. This is forbidden. Of course, in the Harry Potter books, you have Hogwarts School of Witchcraft and Wizardry. Why can't people see through this? They gravitate toward it because it is evil, and because they are listening to evil spirits and to the lies, deceits, and temptations of the devil. So wizardry is forbidden. Now, a wizard is a male witch. It's not a warlock. The word warlock is a Scotch Gaelic word that means traitor, or one who is a traitor to witchcraft. Of course, witches love it when Christians sound stupid and talk stupid and don't know the terminology, so they can laugh at them. So a male witch is not a warlock, it is a wizard, and it's in the Bible, and it is forbidden. Or a necromancer. Necromancy is a practice, when one contacts the dead. Necro, meaning dead. And they think they can talk to someone who has died, assumed room temperature, was buried, and they think they can reach them from beyond. There's a book called the Necromonicon that is used in necromancy. This is a witchcraft book, absolutely forbidden by God. For the Lord says in verse 12, for all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord, and because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. For these nations which thou shalt possess hearkened unto observers of times and unto diviners. But as for thee, the Lord thy God hath not suffered thee so to do. So we see how strictly the Lord forbids all of these things, and all of these things are in the Harry Potter books. I don't understand how anyone could miss this unless they want to be willingly ignorant. The Bible is clear and decisive on this. Let's go over to another portion of Scripture, Isaiah 47, verses 12 through 14. The prophet Isaiah, speaking by the inspiration of God, said, "Stand now with thine enchantments, and with the multitude of thy sorceries, wherein thou hast labored from thy youth." Notice the emphasis on youth. Sorceries in the time of youth. "If so be, thou shalt be able to profit. If so be, thou mayest prevail." The Lord is challenging them here, showing them the futility of what they're doing. "Thou art wearied in the multitude of thy counsels. Let now the astrologers, the stargazers, the monthly prognosticators stand up and save thee from these things that shall come upon thee. Behold, they shall be a stubble. The fire shall burn them. They shall not deliver themselves from the power of the flame. There shall not be a coal to warm at, nor a fire to sit before it." So here again, the Word of God strictly forbids occult practices. Occult practices that are prevalent everywhere in the world today. The appetite for these things is ever increasing, which is a sign of the end. Let's go over to the New Testament now, to the book of Acts, chapter 19, verses 18 through 20, where the Apostle Paul, because of his preaching and the miracles that the Lord did through him, caused a repentance to come upon people who were involved in the occult. And this is a very beautiful portion of Scripture. It says in Acts 19:18, "And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds, many of them also which used curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men, and they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed." What a wonderful thing when people take that which is evil and occult and destroy it and burn it in the name of the Lord. You know, it's not unusual for people that have done this to see manifestations of evil spirits. I know of incidents where things were burned, people gathered together occult objects, things of the devil that they had in their homes, and they built a fire and threw these things on the fire. And I know of instances where blood-curdling screams would come out of the flames because these evil spirits had to give up their hold on that house or that person because they were destroying those things that were strictly of the devil and belonged to him. You see, if you have something that belongs to Satan and it's in your home, he has a right to be there because it's something that's his. And by having that, you have invited him in. And so, according to the book of Acts, when these things were burned and destroyed, these books on curious arts, worth so much money, 50,000 pieces of silver in those days, folks, was a vast fortune. But it didn't matter. These things were evil. And as evil, they have absolutely no value to the Christian. And being destroyed, it says, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. If you want to prevail in the Word of God and have blessings in your home, do what they did back here. Get the Harry Potter books and put them to the flame. Burn them. Destroy them. Get together with other like-minded people, those that hear this tape recording. Hear me, because I'm a former witch. I know. I've been there. I can tell you. I would have been a sixth-generation witch had not the Lord Jesus Christ reached down and saved me by His mercy and grace, and covered me with the precious blood of Jesus that I might be protected from such things. So I urge you to destroy these books and do it now while it's fresh in your mind. Take action immediately. We'll now go over to the book of Galatians, chapter 5, and we are reading verses 19 through 21. Galatians 5, 19 through 21. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. And listen carefully now. It says, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not, hear me now, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. If you claim to be a Christian, and these Harry Potter books are in the life of yourself or your children, you will answer for it. And according to this word, you have no part in the kingdom of God. You shall not inherit the kingdom of God. According to this word, and you can read it in your Bible, and I'm using the King James Bible, the one that God uses. And if you would read this, I urge you to take action and to get this witchcraft out of your lives and out of the lives of your children. Again, in verse 20, it mentioned witchcraft. And all these other things that are mentioned, the uncleanness, the lasciviousness, the wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envying, murders, and so forth, are all found in the Harry Potter books as well. But the very word witchcraft, in reading, ought to tell us something. In those Harry Potter books, there's nothing but witchcraft. Is it not forbidden? According to the Word of God, it's clear. What will you do about it? One more portion of Scripture in the beautiful book of Revelation, which tells us about many things to come, including that great day when we can finally enter in to the realized kingdom of God, when the tabernacle of God is with men, when the Lord sets up His kingdom before our very eyes and we are allowed to enter in. Listen to what it tells us in Revelation 21, the 8th verse. Well, I'm going to read verse 7 with it. It says, "He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful, and the unbelieving, and the abominable, and the murderers, and the whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Do we want Harry Potter to be a role model for our children? Do we want to try and twist those books and say, there are Christian principles here, therefore they're useful? When these books are all about witchcraft, wizardry, sorcery. Incidentally, the word sorcery, if you look it up, you'll find that it comes from the word pharmakia, from which you get the word pharmacy, pharmacist. And the word sorcery means the dispensing of drugs for occult purposes. In fact, Dr. Timothy Leary, who made lysergic acid diethamide, or LSD, famous, said at one point that when you're on LSD, you're not hallucinating. The drug gives you the ability to see another world that is always there all the time. And of course, by using the drug, it's a bridge over troubled waters. And of course, there's a famous song by that title, isn't there? I would like to mention briefly on that the bridge over troubled waters, if you listen to the song and you get past the interlude, you find the words, "Sail on, silver girl." A silver girl is street language for a heroin needle. And of course, Paul Simon and Art Garfunkel go on and start singing about, it's time for you to shine, and all your dreams are on their way. He's talking about a heroin needle, that's the bridge. The dispensing of drugs for occult purposes. Drugs as a part of witchcraft. Do we have a problem with drugs in our nation? And now, is witchcraft flooding our children, the minds of our children? In fact, many schools have indicated they're going to use the Harry Potter books as part of their curricula. If you can imagine the horrifying results that this could produce. And so the Word of God tells us that we are not going to get into the kingdom of God if we are a sorcerer or a witch. There is deliverance. There is salvation available. The Lord is mighty to save. And at this time, I am going to pray. I'm going to pray for all of you who hear this tape. And this tape, every copy of it, is prayed over. I pray to God that the results will be great, that people will hear this and be able to hear just a little about what's in these books and recognize them for what they are. Deceptive, evil, and corrupting. Shall we now pray? Father in heaven, I thank Thee, Lord, that I am able to bring this message to the hearers, to the people who will take the time to listen to it. And I pray, Lord, that the power of Thy Spirit would convict them, would help them to realize the great evil in the Harry Potter books. I pray, O Lord, that Thou wouldst bring all of these books to naught. I come against J.K. Rowling. I come against the sellers of this book. I come against all that promote this book, asking, O Lord, that Thou wouldst completely obliterate these horrible books out of the lives of the people. I pray that every enterprise that promotes them would come to naught, that they would absolutely fail, that Thy sword would be swift. O Lord, that Thou wouldst strongly rebuke and sharply rebuke all of those that are pushing these books into the minds of the children. And Father in heaven, I come against every evil spirit in these books. I break all of the powers of darkness through the authority of Thy name, through the power of the blood of Jesus. I come against every evil spirit that's working through the Harry Potter books. I bind and break their power in Jesus' name. I break every hex, every vex, every curse, every ancestral curse, every spell, every incantation. Let all of these be worthless and come to naught. And let the power of Thy blood overrule all of these things, and to break them down and destroy them. O Lord, for the sake of the hearts of the children and their precious souls, I pray, O God, that Thou wouldst hear my prayer this day, that Thou wouldst use this recording, and that Thou wouldst touch the hearts of the parents especially. Help us now, we pray. Let the evil one have no power over us. Let Thy name be exalted and praised. And I ask all of this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, through the power of the blood. Amen and amen. And I'd just like to say that this tape recording may be freely reproduced. I absolutely forbid anyone to alter it in any way. But this recording may be reproduced as much as you'd like. Just get the word out. And I will be praying. I hope you will be praying with me. God bless you. This is David J. Meyer, the editor and publisher of